couple of these really macho guys right here. Please. He's no longer macho, he's now moving to the ordinary state. All right. We'll read these three verses at the top of the notes, and then we will, so let's all stand and read these together. You don't have to read the Greek, just read the English. All right, everyone, first, you don't have to read out loud, just read along. All things are lawful unto me. Now, I want to say as clearly as I can, Dave, this won't answer all your questions. Under no place on God's green earth is that a true statement. Under no place on God's green earth. That comes from the adversaries. That came from slogans. Do you understand slogans? Man, I can hear people. Now, we don't hear this in modern culture. What I hear is the mangled half of one verse. Well, Pastor Warren, we're not under the law, we're under grace. There's so many assumptions made about that verse. Grace means you don't obey God. They don't even know what it means to be under the law because it's not talking about Old Testament saints. Just total confusion. Well, this is a slogan. Hey, Pastor Warren, all things are lawful for me. I'm free in Jesus. No. We have some more folks coming. Come on in, folks. There's lots of room over here. There's rooms in the front. There's a whole row of seats. Don't see how far back you can go. There's plenty of room. All things are lawful for me. But then he qualifies and says, well, not really. The strong adversative, which you don't know what that means, but I can't use the other phrase because I made a fool of myself in Sunday school one time. It is the hard no, but all things are not expedient. That's Paul. All things are lawful for me. Again, the strong adversative, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He picks this up in a different context, in the context of meats offered to idols later in chapter 20, in 10:23. But 6:13, he gives another one of their little slogans. Well, Pastor Warren, I'll make it modern. Food for the belly and the stomach, and the stomach for food. So I guess immorality is okay because God made a stomach and he made food for that stomach, and God gave you sexual parts, so I guess you can use them. By the way, never, if you learn nothing else from me, do you realize I know how people think? All people. It becomes very obvious by what you say. I'm not talking to anybody specific. After a while, I already know. By the way, when I used to hear this filthy little phrase, I know what that means. Go ahead and say all you want to say, Pastor Warren. Show me all the Bible you want to say. Whatever. And that's exactly how they live. Whatever. That's a slogan. Do you understand slogans? Mm-hmm. Now, the harder question is, if we had six more months, and I could be honesty out of all of you, we would spend every Sunday just telling me, you tell me your slogans. What is the slogan that you use to get away from Scripture? Well, that's just the way I am. Well, I'm a name the ethnic group. On and on it goes. We talked about that. By the way, Paul's going to say, yes, obviously, you know, God made food for us and God made a stomach and that's the process, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication. are immorality. Didn't say sexuality, he said immorality. The big word, fornication. But it's for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Later on, he says the same thing again in a different context. All things are lawful for me. Well, not really. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. Not really. But all things edify not. We're going to try to go as far as I can in this today, because next week we're supposed to start a new Sunday school class. And I will freely confess to you, I could spend 6 more months just discussing this subject. And I'm going to say this before I pray. This subject is more important than it's ever been in the history of Christendom. Mm-hmm. Why? Does anybody know? Amy, you should, because we had a conversation about it. We now have young people in our church, broad church, school, etc. They do things on Facebook, and you're like, do you know why? Old people, do you know why? I don't think so. So I showed Amy, or told Amy, about a football. Well, we're going to pray and be seated. I believe this is the most important subject. I'm going to give you another way of getting out of the truth on the board. We talked about this several years back. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. All right, friends, everyone look at me. So I want to get you, Amy, where I talk to you about either text or face-to-face. Look at me, friends. I'm not going to mention the name, because if I mention the name, some of you will get your panties in a bunch. A football player's wife. Both the husband and the wife claim to be evangelical Christians. Everybody got it? Mm-hmm. One of us. She poses for Sports Illustrated with almost no clothes on. She's a Christian. Her husband's a Christian. She has children. See, old folks, we ain't living in your world anymore. We're living in a world that's bypassed you 40 years ago when you didn't know it. Everything's up for grabs. That's our problem. Everything. If I walked into a church when I was, not Keaton, these two guys' age, I would pretty much know any Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist, whatever term you want to use, church, they're all going to be about the same. Today we have evangelicals that welcome gay marriage. As long as it's a loving, monogamous relationship. Because you know God welcomes that, correct? So my point is, friends, I'm not mad at you. The discussion I've been trying to have, and some days has been really good, some days not as good. You can play the game about your family, your group, your friends. But the moment your little body is outside of that, or those people are no longer looking over your shoulders, you're going to have some serious biblical thinking as opposed to emotions. Because you get around a group of people, wow, and you go to a church and all of a sudden you find that everybody there drinks. Which is how many churches in Lake County? You know, Zion was founded as a cult. But it was strong conservative for decades. When I came here, it was still illegal to buy alcohol in Zion. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. Because they thought Christians were against it. My guess is the same church today is probably allowed drinking. The roads, we no longer have a road. So if you find your children or grandchildren, don't do your stupid covering up for them. No, they have no boundaries because our culture has no boundaries. And evangelicals have no boundaries. So I can talk about this till I'm blue in the face. I don't know how much good it's going to do because most of us have already checked out this morning. You're going to do whatever you're going to do. I'm going to teach you scripture. Now, I dealt with this several years back. This is one of those statements. By the way, it's in Latin too. Nobody really knows who invented it. It sounds really, really, really good until you realize what it's used as. In essentials, unity. I remember when I heard this when I was in Bible college, by the way. back in my Bible college days, this appealed to me because of the stupidity of the Bible college. They talked about the way you parted your hair. I'm not exaggerating. It was forbidden to part your hair in the middle. Dave, you got your hair parted in the middle. You're out of here. Thank you. By the way, you think I'm being funny. That little Bible college was so ridiculous and had nothing to do with Christianity. It was the man at the tops. You don't know this. You don't think this way. It was his way of controlling people. We're the only group. This appealed to me in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty. That appealed to me. This word appealed to me. My goodness, we can probably differ over a few things. Probably. In all things, charity. And by the way, this is found in Latin, though nobody knows who really started it. My problem is, as I taught on this for months in the past, what are the essentials? Well, see, all of a sudden, anything somebody doesn't like gets tossed into the witch bucket. All right, Pastor Warren, you don't believe in drinking. I want to say this to you. Every passage in the Bible that mentions drunkenness mentions that person is not a believer. Everyone. You say, well, I don't get drunk. I'm going to ask questions. Why do you drink? Answer the question. Why do you drink? I'm asking. Come on, wake up. Why does a person drink? You say, well, I like the taste. By the way, you like the taste? You can buy every single one of those drinks without alcohol. Sure. So, again, why do you drink? Please tell me. Well, to have the buzz. Maybe not to pass out on the floor. By the way, these are unthinkable that even in a church you would have to talk about this. I think you have to talk about everything today. Be careful with this here, because in essentials of the faith, I agree. But there's another category. I'm not going to go into any further. I taught on this. You can get this all online. In essentials for a local church, by the way, is another category. My son has been damaged by a church in the Chicagoland area. I'm stating it flat out. Did you hear me? Because in that church, they had like four pastors, and all four of them agreed about nothing. Some of them were pre-mill, some of them were a-mill, some of them were post-mill. He said, that's really cool. No, it's really not. And on it went. And I think you come away from that thinking, what do you end up thinking? Maybe nothing is important.
That's where you get your whatever.
You get a whatever. By the way, yes, friends, I believe everything as long as you add a category. And I'm not going to teach on this. That's all online. If you're interested, you can spend weeks listening. And essentials for a local church. By the way, you're either Baptist or you're not. Meaning baptized by immersion of believers or you don't. Sure. Try doing both in a church. I guess it's possible, but it's sure weird. There's 1,000 little things. By the way, what about your view of growth and grace? You say, I don't even know what you're talking about. What's your view of sanctification? Everything matters in a local church. I have never helped Christians that grew up in local churches where sanctification was never mentioned, or growth and grace. Meaning, you conform and you move forward. That's not growth in grace. I have a hard time even getting Christians interested in growing in grace. They keep looking at me like I'm speaking Polish. All right. Let's go into the notes. Four last principles. They're the ones directly from the text. The first question is 1 Corinthians 6:12. It's also in chapter 10, of course, verse 23, which is simply this. Is it expedient? Is it expedient? Now, I have to add another layer to this. Forgive me, it's not in the notes. These four questions don't always get you to a right or a wrong. these kinds of questions sometimes take you to this kind of a thing. Good, better, best. And not only good, better, best for you, for your circumstance. When you ask the question, is it expedient? Well, in your notes I say this, just make it in the form of a statement. Follow what is profitable, helpful, and useful. The things you do in life ought to be the kinds of things that are profitable, helpful, and useful in your circumstances. That seems to make sense. We'll give examples as we move forward. So it's in chapter 10, verse 23, the same phrase. 6, verse 12 says this, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Sumpheri. Expedient, in your notes, it simply means this, and I give some examples so you don't have to trust me. Expedient has the idea of being helpful, being profitable, being advantageous. Here's some of the texts that use the word. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee. So there's you have to consider life, and you say, Pastor Warren, Now, I can take you up here across the border into Wisconsin, and they will talk to you about courtship. They will call it biblical, of which there's no biblical or courtship in the Bible. There's no dating in the Bible either. Can I say this? There's none of any of it. The Bible doesn't talk about the subject. You say, why not? Well, when you lived in a rural community and there was one girl in the entire community that was more or less your age, probably you were going to marry her. You say, I'm going to do courtship. Okay. But I got a question. Should a child date? Inky, I'm glad you're here this morning. You have a daughter, correct? How old is she?
15. Oh, my goodness.
Do you think she should date?
Yeah. For me. No right. House, no spouse.
You want her, how much school?
College?
So you're, by the way, young Inky, I'm not picking on you. I'm just talking. We can do this with everybody here. By the way, if you can't take principles and apply them to your life, what are you even here for? You're not magically right. By the way, you have to follow something. High school? College? Yes. Now, but I got my friend over here, Srijit. His mom would not be happy if he was dating. And he's already gone through college. Is that right? Are you dating or you haven't told me? Now, I'm not picking on anybody. Listen to me, friends. Somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor Warren, I want to be a doctor. I always do math. You know, I'm not very good at math. I'm not some people. Well, if you get to college, that means, you know, you're going to have 4 years of some sort of biochemistry, whatever they call it these days. So you're now 22, and then you're in medical school till you're 26 or so. And then, of course, then death happens. Residency. I worked at teaching hospitals. My favorite thing was to watch a resident come into the laboratory. Back in my day, we get the blood gases in the lab. They draw the blood gases, and they want to get them done quick. He'd bring them right to me. I remember the doctor actually performed his wedding to his wife. My wife and I were there. He would walk in. He would hand me it. He was the only guy I ever met to sleep standing up. By the way, it's the time to get married. You understand the problem? Can I tell you what happens to the vast majority of doctors that get married? They usually get married in here. What do you think happens to that marriage? That they don't usually survive. I met many, many doctors. And by the way, nurses and other women that work in hospital settings target doctors because of, get over your religion, money. And they think they're probably not a criminal. That's good. By the way, should Srijit date when he's in college? He's finished. Well, he's not finished until at least age 29, and that's if you don't do any other specialty stuff. You all with me? By the way, is it expedient? Can you go back to college? Now, I need to add something to the conversation. You all know what it is? I don't think college is for everybody. How about this? I'm old-fashioned. I know I'm old-fashioned. I know I'm from a dinosaur age. I got all of that. I actually think you shouldn't be serious about dating until the man can take care. Am I speaking Polish to anybody? Can take care of the family. You say, did you teach that where you're from?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you? What are you dating for? Dave, are you going to talk about this? I know you've talked about this stuff before. What are you dating for? To have a good time. Thank you very much. And by the way, neither one are capable. By the way, if you can't live on your own and she can't live on her own, good luck on that dating stuff. I don't need to go through these verses, do I? Is it profitable? All of them talk about being profitable. I say in your notes, and this is very important, at least to me.
Pastor, can I ask a question?
You can ask or comment or disagree. I'm up for all of
them. Female prime age for having babies is in the 20s.
For a female?
The wife waits until the husband's in his 30s. She's most likely in her 30s. The chance of having healthy babies or having more than one baby starts to drop drastically.
Okay.
So how does that fit in? We're saving up so we can have the good financial life, but God has designed us to start having families in our 20s.
Okay, you answer your question. What's your answer? If you make a choice to become a doctor, you have made a choice.
So doctors shouldn't plan on having families more than maybe one.
No, you make a choice. How much time are you going to have with your spouse in those? I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about something much more.
Well, you're talking
simple.
About having a career, having
taking
financial
care of your,
success.
Taking care of your family. That has nothing to do with how much money you make. You don't have the ability. But by the way, if you choose not to do this, that's fine. Yes, by the way, folks, there's a book. I have it. I got it on my Kindle. I don't know the name of it. Number one characteristic of people that have small families. Number one characteristic.
Highly educated.
Close.
Liberal.
No. Highly educated women. Because of what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm saying this. You make a choice. You also make some other choices. See, I don't believe you can escape choices. Ever. You make a choice for something.
Just making choices when you're told by your pastor or society, don't have a kid until your 30s, and then you get to 30 and you can't physically have a healthy kid.
He's not talking about having a kid. 30.
Well, you're talking about not getting married, so now we're talking about having married kids before you get married? I hope not.
So, I have a son who is 22 years old. He's done the career. He's lived on his own for almost 2 to 3 years. I think he can take care of somebody. I think he is ready. My kid over here is definitely not ready.
Part of it also is the long courting and dating. We go through these 2, 3, 4 years of dating to see if we're compatible or see if, you know, that part too. Then you're in your 30s when you wait 4 years of dating to be married or decide is this the one or decide. Am I, are we Christians? Are we on the same path? Are we going to do the same things? Are we going to start a family? It doesn't take 4 or 5 years a day to figure it out.
Well, it's definitely on a case-by-case basis on the maturity of that individual. You can have a mature person that's in their young 20s meet another person that's in their young 20s. They don't have life all, job, career all figured out because they're in their young 20s, but they can start that family and they build their relation, their family, their career
absolutely
together.
And I think there's benefits to that because you start at a young age and you build your path together, as opposed to this person built their path, this person built their path, and now they have to put it together. I think there's merit to that too.
I think
it's different for everybody.
By the way, y'all get nervous? I'm not nervous. I stand by what I said, but I didn't talk about what you're drawing the deduction. I'm saying if you make a choice for any kind of education or a process, you cannot just decide in mid-course to get married and have children, because, can I say this? I saw it in Bible college, and then I saw divorce after divorce after divorce because husband didn't have a job, wife didn't have a job, couldn't take care of themselves, couldn't take care of the kids, weren't in the ministry, and then weren't together. I think when you make choices for X, Y, and Z. Now, I went back to college after I was married, but I already finished college and could take care of my wife. To me, it's real simple. Now, my dad and mom, Tom, I'll come to you in sickness if you want to add. By the way, if you're nervous, that's your problem. You don't ever talk to anybody about anything.
Look at both sides of the issue.
Okay, there is no
because
both sides.
Their society has said, don't have kids until you have a career. And now our society, we're not having enough kids. Birth rate decline that is going to destroy this country.
Okay.
It's already destroying Korea, it's destroying Japan, it's destroying Eastern Europe, it's destroying Western Europe. Everywhere where we focus more on career than on families, on building biblical families. We have nice careers, but like Dave said, yeah, we built our own identities until we're in our 30s, and then we tried to meld these separate lives together. Because as a chaplain, as a counselor, I've counseled hundreds of people dealing with the problems because, oh, I got to be a chief first before I can get married. I got to do this first. I got to get married. I got to do this before I have kids. You know, our society and their stuff is all mixed up, and part of it is the thing of we're just teaching people, don't get married, don't have kids until you're in 30. That's part of the problem. We need to give both sides of the perspective so that we can make informed choices and seeking what God's will is in all of this.
Not everyone's going to be a doctor. Other people will choose other career paths and other things to where then they are set up earlier to have kids, to have a family. All that is up there on the board is things that, like, where you're going to have this large career where this is your main focus. I'm going to be a doctor. This is what I'm going to do.
So again, you're saying a doctor cannot have a family until their 30s, otherwise they're not following God's will.
Actually, I never said anything. I asked if it was expedient.
Well, and I think that we're going around in circles around the wrong thing. Because you're talking about making a choice. And all of us make choices every day. There are consequences that come with
always
those choices. And what I think we need to do is, if a person is wanting to be a doctor, you need to talk to them about what are the things that happen in that choice, and what are the consequences, whether those are the ones you want, or there'll be some that you aren't expecting. The same thing for, you know, the one who's going to go get some, go to work to a shop class or something like that, or go into the military or whatever. What are the consequences of your choice? And as believers, when we're talking to young folks in that area, that's what we have to help them understand. It isn't a choice of, okay, now life goes on. No, life will change no matter what choice you make. And the idea or the hopeful is that you can make a choice that is going to expand your family, not destroy your family.
And the change has to be together.
And it has to be something, yes, that both the husband and the wife understand and agree to.
Okay, Krusty.
Oh, well, he just let it in with the last sentence, but I also think you have to not just look at the doctor, or let's flip it to a law enforcement officer. There were years that I had to. No fault to him, but I was basically a single parent because of his schedule. And when he was home, he did everything. This is not a down to him, but that was a choice I had to make. So
sure.
I think when you go with the doctor, law enforcement, lawyer, whatever, you got to talk with your spouse.
I want to be very clear, because obviously you're missing my point. I'm not asking right or wrong. See, you have put that in my mouth. I actually never said that. I asked the question, is it expedient?
Well, you always said that this is make this expedient choice based off of this thing, and you're not giving the other thing. So people are going to make a choice off of what you give.
So you want to have children, and you want to have 12.
Well, how's the spouse?
By the way, and if you want that, that's fine. you're making choices, but you have to consider what's expedient for each side.
And the people here need to make choices on a foreign thing that you have to give them. These are the pros and cons of both sides.
I don't think there is a pro and con of any young man ever not having some way of taking care of himself and his wife before marriage, period. That's my absolute decision. You say, why? Mm-hmm. Now, is he ready for marriage? That I don't know. But until you have some kind of a way to, by the way, in the old days, you didn't have to do this, folks. My brother left high school, and he went to work. Oh, I'm going to. This has obviously touched something that is not about what we're discussing, okay? It's just that simple. My dad worked in a steel mill. My brother, out of high school, had a really good job. Look at me, folks. Forget about this. Look at me. He had a really good job by doing, right out of high school, got a middle-class job. Those were not available in 1975 when I graduated. Did you know that all those great steel mill jobs, factory jobs where I grew up, good luck on getting those now. Now you get a job where if the husband works full-time, wife works full-time, maybe you can survive with no education or no training. I don't want to make it this, by the way, I don't think everybody needs to become a doctor. I just had kids tell me they want to become a doctor. I'm like, do you understand the consequences of your choices?
And the expense.
And everything about it, it's going to cost.
So, Pastor, I have a question.
Sure.
What if a young adult comes up to you, being from the church, and asks you, while he or she is still in college, that there's someone that I'm interested in, and I would like to pursue this relationship? How would you advise that young adult, being in the college? How would you be able to advise
them? You're interested in. What does that mean?
Well, it's almost asking the question, can I date this person?
All right, you're back to my thinking. There's no dating in the Bible. There's no courtship in the Bible. The Bible never discusses how we get married. Mm-hmm. So in the practical sense of the modern age, I would say, yes, you can date her and her five friends and your five friends, and you can go bowling together. Five and five. None of this coupling up. The moment you couple up too closely, what planet are we living on?
Exactly.
You only have one purpose in that, and that's not a good purpose. So my recommendation, yeah, three or four, you go out to whatever. I don't watch movies. I don't go to movies, but if you go see if there's a good movie, go see the movie together. Three or four and three or four. Why? Because then you're not coupling up. I don't see a purpose in dating. unless you're serious. And by the way, how are you ever going to know if you're interested in the person? Take a breath, everybody. The moment the heat starts evolving in a relationship, the brain shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows this. There's not a person here that doesn't know this. We got younger people, but they're not stupid. You start doing this and you got a problem. You got a big problem. I'm not a fan of dating, except groups, because then you can listen to people, talk to people. How about this? If you're in love with the person, I got to skip out of you. If a guy is in love with a woman because she's beautiful, that's nice. Is that not nice? But how long is that going to keep things together? There's got to be a whole lot more. You know, common purposes, common to two lovers. Rick, I'm going to slap you. Anyhow, Anton, did you have a comment or a thought, sir?
Just want to hear exactly. You talk about career, lawyers, doctors, cops, Christian men.
How about the Navy?
Oh, how about the Navy?
But how about, I hear it going up. If you're going to be a pastor of a church, you have to be married. You're a young pastor. But that's the reverse.
That's a problem.
Because of the need, because I think the same challenges of a man in whatever there is the same with the church.
That issue with the young pastor and all that's outside of my bailiwick. I do know that the greatest Baptist pastor in history, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, married a woman from his church. It was the second church. But I would consider that very weird. You know, I know guys have done it. It's just like, here, I'm going to preach this morning, and I'm thinking about dating, there's something about that that's weird, but I understand your question. They're trying to prevent problems from the young man. I don't know if all that can be prevented, frankly. So, by the way, everybody hear me? We got real upset about some stuff. I'm not trying to be balanced. I'm trying to ask a question. Is it expedient for whatever you want to do? By the way, if you want to have 12 children, here's my recommendation. Are you ready? Meet some guy, if you're a lady, that's got a good job, and start having those children like my grandmother and great-grandmother did at age 14. Grandma had 4 children before age 20. She ended up with 12. But I got news for you. If you're 25 years old, it's going to be hard to have 12 children. Hello? The numbers don't work. You know, I think you just have to ask this question. Is this really profitable for what God, look at me, for what God has called me to do? Folks, I got a person that's generally a distant friend. He is 45 or so. He's got a wife, he has about 4 kids, and he's going back to school, and I'm thinking, all right, guys, without lying, who suffers immediately? Wife and kids. The wife is going to get some attention. I'm not going to go any further. And the children, and I'm going to say this, you can't put children on hold. I think all of you know this. Do you not know this? Now, I will say this. I have found in my 30 years of being here, the Navy's not been good for most families. And during our next session, Dave and Nicole, I'm going to have Cliff, him, teach on something. Because he was Master Chief in the United States Navy, he had to spend time away from his wife and away from his daughter. What did you do? And it's more than just protecting yourself from sin. It's a whole, I want the whole package, because it's powerful. You don't realize, by the way, all life happens. We got folks in our church right now, I'm assuming you know this, they have to work some other place. That's real hard. I don't like to see people, the families here and the fathers here or the mothers here. It's a stressor. I don't know that we can put that genie back in the bottle. We don't all live on the farm. Let's go to the second concept, if you would, please. Now, this one's a little more right and wrong. Does it enslave? In 1 Corinthians 6:12, he says this, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That is the idea of enslavement. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's an interesting word. He means I make my body a slave to God, a slave to right, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This is a very important question. Does it enslave? Now, the next concept, friends, I'm going to combine some of this. The third big principle he gives is, does it edify? And this is a little weird, because this can be taken in different directions. But edification has this idea. He says, all things are lawful for me, chapter 10, verse 23. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. 10:24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. When he starts his discussion on meat offered to idols, he begins in verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. One blows you up with an ego, the other one builds yourself and other people up. It's puffing up and building up. Edify literally means to build up, to build a house, to strengthen, or to establish. Now, friends, you can take these things in really bad ways. So if you put down expedient, enslavement, and then edification, to say this simply, folks, some of this is just going to it's going to leave you in this middle group. A middle meaning it's not really right or wrong, but it in your case, let me just say this, in your case, it might be wrong, right or wrong. Friends, many of us in this room have been at different times challenged when it comes to working. Yes, Otto. I remember when I was working in the hospital. This was back in the 80s. You go in downstairs where we punched in our time card, and right there would be on the wall, and it was there the whole 5 years, and I don't know if they still do this. Work in Saudi Arabia. As a med tech or as a nurse or whatever, make 3 or 4 times the money. Look at me. No taxes. Never tempted me. I looked at that and said, that's nice, but I think I'm married with kids. Besides that, I'm a pastor. So my choices kind of eliminated that. Does that make sense? Guy came to me many years ago and said, most of you wouldn't know who it was, but he came to me and said, I have an opportunity to make money. He was already making more money than probably anybody but one or two in this room. I don't know the exact salary. I'm guessing $300,000 to $400,000 a year at that time. He said, I have an opportunity to go to Amman, Jordan. Should I go? You're saying no back here. What do you all think? By the way, you know why he wanted to go? Tax-free. I think he had triple the salary. He was going to make some serious cash. I looked at him. My first question, are you guys ready? Well, that was my second question. What is your wife going to do? Put on a burqa every time she goes outside. Then I said, is there a church over there? And his answer was he never asked his wife because his wife never came into the discussion. Let me ask you, do you think they're still married?
No.
By the way, he made money. He went, by the way. He did. He went to Amman, Jordan for money. To me, there's things that, no, I have to make other choices. Big other choices. So I have in your notes. Edification and enslavement together. Horseshoes. Is that evil? Emily, you think horseshoes are evil?
I want to know if some of the kids actually know what horseshoes are. You know what horseshoes are?
Is it the... Let me just explain this to you. In rural areas like where I grew up, we had a man in that church that challenged all the guys that were my age. He said, guys, I'm right-handed. Let's play horseshoes. Now, I'm too good for you right-handed. I'll do it left-handed. He beat us bad left-handed. You know what? When I went to Bible college, horseshoes would have been worldly.
Right.
Worldly. How about playing cards? Now, I'm not talking about like some of you play. I'm not talking about poker.
Is there money involved or just cards?
By the way, Tom, in those places, it made no difference. They were sinful because they were cards.
Right, correct. I know I
grew up. And you're like, I grew up with people. We'd sit around a table, 6, 8 people playing pinochle for hours, eating popcorn, drinking tea, talking. Yeah, a ton of these kind of games that most people don't know them anymore. It's like, sinful? I thought it was actually an opportunity for conversation.
Well, sometimes it actually comes up.
Well,
I think we left phones off of this list about edifying, though.
Phones. I don't want to get that crazy. Tea, snacks. I say in your notes, and I mean this can and will be abused horribly. When you ask these two questions, friends, about does it enslave, does it edify, I will just say this. This has to be you working through the scripture and asking a question. Please look at me. If you're playing, like you get together with some buddies on a Friday night and you play horseshoes, that could be a wonderful experience. I would like people to talk to each other. I like conversation with lots of different people. Not all people that look like me and talk like me and think like me. That makes life more interesting. But you'll have some people that play a game. It's in your notes. They'll say, well, of course cocaine's wrong because it's addictive, but pie is wrong too because it's addictive. Hello? Is pie addictive? But is it addictive? Now, here's the point. In the same way?
No.
All right, so let's say you're the worst pie-aholic that's ever been known to mankind. Who's out there? Do we have a testimony? You're the worst at pie. Okay. Can you ruin your family? Because, well, maybe I guess you become diabetic when you get older, but I think there's a little difference between cocaine and pie. I mean, I had it when I was in Bible college. We had a couple guys preach against it. They preached against tea, preached against coffee. Oh, addictive, man. You have to have it. Well, can I say, I don't think that's a fair equivalence. Alcohol, drugs, smoking, gambling, and porn, I think are all very destructive. And I think they're pretty obvious. They enslave a person. And I would say, how do you know you're enslaved? Look at me, everybody. I'm going to give you a hint. This is how you know you're enslaved. You're either doing it or thinking about doing it. That's when you're enslaved, period. And you know what I find, especially from marijuana? That's people's whole life now. If you go out to the restaurant that I ate at with two crazy guys, Junior and Josue Valdemar, what day did he? Friday. You drive out 173, come to 41, right there on this, right there. There were more people there getting pot than were at Sam's Club. There was not even, there were lines out the door. Do you know why? Because that's a real addiction. You know, you say, I have an addiction. I don't drink coffee. I'm too young for coffee. And I don't like the taste. Now, I'm being funny. Is there? Could you ruin anybody over drink? I drink too much coffee. I drink too much tea. Really? It makes you jittery. Okay. I think that's a false equivalence. Very false.
I completely agree, but I do think Christians fall into that trap of being addicted to things on that list. Like, I can be addicted to certain things. I have to stop. And I don't want to ruin my life. I mean, you can make yourself unhealthy. You can ruin your marriage.
But it's not quite, it's going to take you a couple of weeks to get there. It's a long-term thing. Alcohol, gambling, porn, doesn't take very long to get there, Dave. Not very long at all. There's a lot of other things. By the way, coffee is addictive, tea is addictive. Can I say this? Food's addictive. Some people spend all their waking moments thinking about their next meal. Yes, gambling is obviously addictive. Well, the last question is, does this assist evangelism? And that's a hard question, of which we don't have time. So at this time, we're going to stop. And Lord willing, next week we'll start a new Sunday school class. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name.